Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, welcome, folks. Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Such an honor to serve you in this way. We love talking about stewardship around here, and we're not talking about some giving campaign. No, we're talking about managing this life, managing our money, managing our relationships, managing our leadership, managing our health, managing our parenting. God's way, what the Bible says, and doing it for God's glory, not our own. It's not so we can get rich. It's not so that we can be popular. It's not so we can be loved. No, it's to bring God glory. What does that mean to give God glory? That means that when people see the way we live, the way we manage our finances, the way we manage our relationships, that they're pointed towards the cross. They're pointed toward eternal thinking. They know that this is not just a nice person, but this is a person who's living intentionally, is living on purpose with eternity in mind. And so that's our vision. That's what we want to do. We're not ever going to arrive. So if you're feeling pretty condemned right now, going, oh man, I'm so far away. We all are. We're all on a journey. We're all reclaiming stewardship together. The goal is not to compare ourselves, you know, to the person in the cubicle next to us or the car next to us or in the house next to us. The goal is to compare ourselves against the calling that God has in our life. What does he want for us? Are we living it out? And comparing ourselves against our yesterday. Are we better than we were yesterday? You've heard this said before that Rome was not built in a day. And that's the case. You're not going to be built in a day either. It's going to take some time. It takes a lot of good decisions. And we're going to mess up occasionally. And that's why we're so thankful for the grace of God. We're so thankful for his mercy. And I know many of you right now, I mean, you might have verbally out loud said amen, because his grace is so real to you. It's so real. You know what you've been forgiven of. Many people don't even know, but you know, as far as the east is from the west, right? Very cool stuff. Well, this is a call-in show. The free call is at 866-357-3283. Again, it's 866-357-3283. And those of you that don't want to be on the air for any variety of reasons, you can email in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. And email and call in for any reason. It's not just about money, but about relationships. And you know, sometimes some of you send in testimonies. Those are so encouraging to us. And we love to either read them or to talk about them on the air here. So send those in. They're very, very encouraging. Everything we talk about today can be found at stewardship.com. That's our website, and it is amazing. You owe it to yourself to go check it out. First on the line is Dusty. He's calling in from Cedar Rapids. Dusty, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing, Chris?
Oh, I am better every day. How can I serve you?
Well, I've been listening to you and Dave Ramsey for a while now, and I kind of want to have a second opinion or maybe a better opinion on how or when to start my kids on learning the value of money.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the background is I have a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old, and, you know, they are, you know, typical children. They like toys and whatnot, and they have chores, but they don't necessarily get allowance. They get paid for, you know, the chores they do. And the issue I'm having is that when we go to the store, they want to buy a toy, but yet they're having a hard time understanding the value of saving opposed to just getting and spending. So, you know, for example, instead of spending their money on a cheap $1 toy, I'm trying to teach them the value of saving to get something of better quality, something that they're going to be happier with, rather than just getting it and blowing it like, you know, so many of us do. And honest, I've been guilty of it in the past. So I kind of want to get your perspective on how I can go about, and if a 5- and 7-year-old are actually too young to start, you know, teaching, you know, the value of saving and quality versus quantity type of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Very good question. actually their ages. You're right about that age where you need to start asking that question. I don't feel like you've lost time. The magic age that I've kind of just decided for clarity for everybody, because I'm talking to such big audiences, I just try to pick an age, and it's six. Six is the one that, and of course, there's lots of variables on how mature they are for 6 years old, but six is a good one. So I think having those conversations now, you can start on a very small level. Here's what, I'm in the same situation. I've got 11, 9, and 7, and we've gone through this over the last several years, and the best way that I've seen for me to navigate through this is, first and foremost, is to realize that they're kids, and to go back in time when you were a kid and just remember how amazing those baseball cards looked. I mean, I feel like they just jumped off the shelves at me, and they had a neon light, and they're like, buy me, buy me, buy me. And it was just powerful. When you see that icy machine and you're just picturing how amazing that would taste going down your throat. So I totally get the wrestle, but remember, they're kids. So that will save you some of the frustration is all I'm saying.
Okay.
The number one way you can help them is through modeling, through giving them, letting them in on your conversations. Because they're like, oh, mom and dad, you can afford that. And instead of saying, we can't afford that, that's not true. You can't afford that, whatever that is. You're choosing not to afford it. And bring them into your world where you're saying, you know, we're deciding not to do that even though we can, because we want to get blank. We want to save up for whatever it might be. Hey, you guys said you wanted to go to Disney, right, next summer? Well, that's the reason why we're not going out to eat tonight. That's the reason why we chose not to go to the movies tonight, but to rent a movie. And so just have those conversations out loud. Now, in addition to that, we teach in Financial Peace Junior that you want to get, you know, a give jar, a save jar, and a spend jar.
Okay.
And whenever they earn $3, you put a dollar in each. And in order, give, you're going to give a dollar away. This is a very simple example, but you can, you know, modify it however you need to.
All right.
A dollar, and to save, you want to teach give first, save second, and then the dollar for spending. And then every time they get any kind of money for anything, that's the process. And if you choose whatever dollar amount you choose for those. The only thing that I would say there with that illustration is, let's say it's five. You want to be a little, you want to make sure that they have enough to spend where they're not demotivated. You know, or you want to start off with very slow percentages.
Okay.
And not be too aggressive, because you're going to want them to like, no, you need to be a saver. You need to be a saver way better than I did. And so you're going to try to overdo it and save 40%.
Sure.
Be careful with that, because you can demotivate them. But those are some real practical tips. You know, have those three jars, give, save, spend. Make sure they see you doing this and having these conversations. Have these conversations out loud. But very good questions. Actually, do you have FPU Junior?
I have not gotten it yet.
Well, you're about to get it. I'm going to give it to you. So, yeah, it's incredible. I love it. We have little chore charts on our refrigerator, and all three of the kids have them, and they all mark off their chores. And at the end of the week, we have payday. It's a lot of fun. So, Dusty, stay on the line, and we're going to give you Financial Peace Junior.
Great. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Next call comes in from Richmond, Virginia. This is Stephanie. Stephanie, how are you?
Hi, Chris. How are you?
Oh, I am better every day. How can I serve you?
Thank you so much for taking my call. I had a spending question, actually.
Okay.
My husband and I started the envelope system 2 years ago, right after we got married.
Okay.
And we've managed to pay off around $40,000 of debt since then.
Wow.
We're at the point where the debt that we have left is student loans.
Okay. How much are they?
Right now, they're at $140,000.
Whoa. We got a doctor in the house?
Yes.
Wow.
No doctor, but I just think we kind of went into college uneducated about money and taking out loans.
Okay, what's the income?
Our income is 111.
Okay.
Right now, combined.
Okay.
Right now they're at 140,000, and my husband is working all the overtime he can get.
Mm-hmm.
I picked up a part-time job on top of my full-time job. And we're just trying to throw every extra penny at this debt. And right now we're on track to have it paid off in the next 2 years.
Okay.
So at some point in the future, I would like to open up a small business. And last month in September, we decided that it would be a good idea for me to attend the business boutique in November. And I purchased a ticket.
Okay.
We decided that we were going to celebrate our 2-year wedding anniversary of a trip to California to visit family, and we spent $1,500 to take that trip.
Okay.
And I'm wondering if it's wise to spend another $1,500 for me to go to the business boutique, or if maybe we should hold off and maybe I can attend the next one, so that we have a little bit more time to prepare financially and maybe not be spending such big amounts back to back like that.
Great question. Very good. We've all had this wrestle, haven't we? We might not have the same amount of debt, but we've had this wrestle. I don't know if this answer is going to surprise you or not, but I actually don't think you should go to business boutique. I don't think you should go.
Okay.
And we're going to refund your ticket for you if you're going to make that decision, because we don't want you to take the loss there. I don't want you buying a plane ticket to come here, and here's why. There's a lot of free resources that we offer for people that are in your scenario. Lots, especially Christy Wright. I mean, she's got tons of free insight on how to start a business on her website.
Okay.
Now, it's not the same as going to an event. You don't feel the energy. You don't get to network.
Yeah.
It's definitely not the same. The value of going to an event can really spark something in your life. We do events all the time. We do like 50 or 60 a year. So there's definitely a value in them. But in your scenario, especially with you, those two big expenditures that just hit, I don't necessarily think it's the right time for you. And buying a plane ticket doesn't make sense in your financial position. I would take advantage of the free resources that Christy provides, and then the next business boutique. I have a tough time with that word, boutique. Bob, the producer, makes fun of me all the time. We're gonna buy you tickets for that one. Okay, so I think I think it's going to be close to Richmond. I don't think they've got that nailed down yet. Yeah, so I think I might not have to worry about a plane ticket. So here's what's going to happen. You stay on the line, and Amanda's going to pick up, and we're going to work out however we got to work out with your current tickets, and then we're going to give you free tickets to the next one. And I think that relieves a little bit of this pressure in your life. Okay?
Yes, it does. But thank you so much for the insight. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you so much, Stephanie. All right. Well, you can call in. You can email in. Jacob emailed in. He says, I'm 19 and looking to find the best place to put my money. So my question is, can a mutual fund be used like a savings account? And Jacob, the answer is yes, it sure can. However, you want to do a money market account if less than 5 years. And if you're looking to save for longer than 5 years, that's when you start getting into mutual funds. Why? Well, the reason why is because there's fees associated with the mutual fund, and you want to make sure that you give it at least 5 years, 5 to 7, for it to pay off, for those fees to make sense. Those are fees that aren't tied to a money market account. What you're doing is you're paying fees for better returns, and so you want to give those returns time to make up for the fees. And so, yes, you can put your money in a mutual fund and use it like a savings account. My question for you, Jacob, though, I don't know all your finances, is make sure you're out of debt first. You shouldn't be doing anything like that until you're 100% out of debt. Well, folks, we're talking a lot about debt. We're talking a lot about investing. We're talking about all sorts of stuff. And a lot of the answers are coming from a class that maybe you don't know about. Of course, they all come originally from the Bible. Yeah, that's where all this stuff originally was created. But we've created a class, and it's called Financial Peace University. Maybe you're new to the show and you're not sure what that is. But right now, we are offering $20 off on the class, and it includes the Financial Peace University DVDs. And this is for people with busy schedules, or maybe you've been through the class and you just want the videos. If you've ever wanted to take Financial Peace University but couldn't find the time, then this option is just for you. For a limited time, you can get the Financial Peace University Home Study for only $129. You walk through the 9 money-saving lessons in the privacy of your own home. All you got to do is visit stewardship.com and click on Chris Recommends. That's in the top right-hand corner. And that's where you get Financial Peace University Home Study for only $129. That's Financial Peace University Home Study for only $129.
If you'd like to speak with Chris, let us know in your email or call us. You can email Chris at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or call him at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. Let's continue now with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
Again, the phone number is 866-357-3283. And this is Diego. He's calling from Midland, Texas. Diego, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing well. Chris, how about yourself?
Oh, I'm better every day. How can I help you?
Well, I'm recently married, and me and my wife, we've been pretty good with money. And so we recently bought a house. And just kind of just from knowing the baby steps, I know that y'all say 15% towards retirement and then pay off the mortgage.
Uh-huh.
And my question is why stop at 15%? We are in a pretty good position where we have a good amount of liquid assets, but we have about $80,000 in liquid just because I wanted to have some sort of credit for the mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we just got the house and, you know, a mortgage is $160,000. And I wanted to aggressively pay that off. But I thought, would it be better, since the rate is so low, would it be better just to invest more into our 401ks, IRAs, or just a taxable brokerage account?
Yeah, the thing is, and especially right now, Diego, with the stock market so high,
right.
I know it doesn't seem high being in the 16s when it's been at 18, but overall,
right.
Dumping a lot of money at one time doesn't make sense.
Right.
It makes more sense to be very 15% every month. So then you're buying at 18, you're buying at 17, you're buying at 16, you're buying back at 17, you're buying at 18, you're buying at 19. And so you're buying all this time at highs and lows and highs and lows. And so therefore, right. overall, you're going to win instead of just dumping all this extra cash that you have right now. So it's more okay. about the rhythmic frequency than it is about the mm-hmm. one-time shot.
Okay. So just one follow-up question on that.
Sure.
So I've heard y'all talk about the IRA and 401k. What would you recommend once you hit the matching on the 401k? Do you then go to the IRA?
Yeah, you go to the Roth. Max your Roth, $11,000 a year for a couple. And then go okay. back to the 401k for non-match. So therefore, you're staying in ones that are got tax advantages is really what I'm trying to say. So yeah, you go matching to the Roth, then back to the 401k.
Okay,
yep. Just make sure you maximize that Roth first and then head back. So you want to make sure that you put 15% towards long-term mutual funds. But at the same time,
sure.
you want to make sure that you're taking care of baby step five, which is making sure that you put money away for college funding for your kids. And the reason why you want to do that is because it makes no sense to put money in the market making anywhere from 6 to 20%, depending on the year. At the same time, you're taking out 8% loans because your money's all tied up, but you're taking out 8% or 10% loans on school. That's just dumb. And so we want to make sure you do 15% towards long-term investments
okay.
and letting that compound interest start. And at the same time, you want to make sure that, let's say you get hit by a bus in 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
You want to make sure that you're not leaving a house payment to anybody. So you want to make sure you're taking care of that as well. So ideally, you'd be building up this compound interest over time. At the same time, removing all the liability in your life. Removing all the debt, removing all the, so that when the day comes for you to hand over the keys and they're looking at that will, they're saying, oh, this is incredible. We got $300,000 in investments and we have a paid off house.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have any other debt besides the mortgage?
Well, we have a couple of autos.
Okay.
We have about $13,000 in debt.
Okay. Well, out of all the questions you've asked so far, the most important thing you can do with your finances is get rid of that 13 ASAP. So get rid of that 13. That's the most important thing that you did that we've talked about. Successful people don't have consumer debt. So just get rid of that first and then continue with everything else we said, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Sounds great, Chris.
Thanks, Diego. All right. I got an email here from RT. He says, Chris, at age 65, would you rather have $500,000 in an IRA or some rental property worth the same amount with a net profit of $3,000 per month? Ooh, I feel like this is a setup. I'll take the IRA all day long. Chris, why? Because it's diversified. Because it's much less risk. Because there's no maintenance. And especially no maintenance for a 65-year-old. Historically, there's more return per month. I think if I just do some easy math at 8%, you're looking at over $3,000 a month. And if it's $500,000, if that $500,000 is due to Roth contributions throughout the years, then there's no taxes. No taxes. How cool is that? And you got no tenants to babysit. So, good question. Definitely gets us thinking about retirement, but I would take the IRA all day long. Next call comes in from Josie. She is calling from Fort Worth, Texas. Josie, how are you?
Hello, Chris. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, you're welcome.
I really enjoy your show.
Oh, good.
I recently sold my house and I've paid off some bills, so I'm debt-free.
Good job.
Thank you.
Unless you're homeless now.
Actually, no. My father passed away this year, and I'm living in his house.
Okay.
And I'm debating on whether to buy it or not. It needs a lot of work. Mm. I mean, like gutted and everything. And I don't know if it's worth it. I've been, just kind of battling with that. Otherwise, I would just rent because I really don't want to go out and buy a house.
Right. Now, if you were driving down the road, take away all the variables of this story, and you saw that house, would your heart leap and say, oh, I've got to go buy that?
Oh, absolutely not.
Then I wouldn't buy it. Unless there's a tremendous sentimental value that would overwhelm and outplay that question, that would be that big of a deal. I would not buy it. So what does that mean your scenario is? You got to sell it?
Yes. It's not worth a whole lot of money. I'd have to pay off my siblings.
Okay.
If I did buy it. But, I mean, if I didn't buy it, I'm still going to sell it, and everybody, just gets a little money out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not worth a lot.
I will say this. If you're living in free housing, Josie, if it's free housing and putting up with it for another year or 18 months puts you in such a tremendous financial position where you could really expedite your financial journey, then I think if I was in your scenario, I would put up with the short-term sacrifice to be launched to another stratosphere financially, because you're saving 20 to 25% of your budget because you're not having to pay for housing costs. So that would be one thing I would consider. But buying it, I don't like that. I would definitely sell it. But whether you do that in 18 months or you do that next month, depends on how much you can put up with it.
Well, it's I could maybe put up with it. But the thing is that I don't think it'd be fair to my siblings living that long and not paying them off.
Gotcha.
The house was only actually worth like $20,000.
Oh, wow.
That's how bad a shape it is.
Oh, okay. Then I don't like you living in a $20,000. No, I don't like that. Yep, I would sell it.
Okay. What do you think about renting?
You renting or are you renting the house? You renting the...
No, me renting another place.
Yeah,
place.
I don't think there's anything wrong with it. Actually, I rent myself. I'm saving up to buy a house with cash. And just an update for our listeners, I'm actually about halfway. So I'm cheering you on. You cheer me on as well. It takes a lot of discipline.
Okay, I will.
it's definitely a challenge, but I still see light at the end of the tunnel. But yeah, I don't have no problems with renting.
Great. Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much. I needed to hear that from someone that knows more than I do anyway.
Yeah, and I think you're going to have just tremendous peace of not having all that awkwardness with your siblings. It's just gone. And all this, that's all, all those ties are cut. I think you're going to like that. I think you're going to love the peace.
And the stress.
Yeah, yeah. Yep, let's get that stress out of your life.
I've been through a lot this year, and I really probably don't need the extra stress.
Right, right. Well, Josie, let me pray for you real fast, okay?
All right.
God, we come to you right now on behalf of Josie. We ask, God, that she's got a lot of details to work through in this upcoming weeks and months. We pray, God, that you give her peace, the peace that you've given so many of us and the comfort that you've given so many of us. It's been a tough year for her, and I pray, God, that all the details with the siblings, God, that you'd be in it. And your presence would be felt. We know you're in it, but your presence would be felt, that they would just cognitively know that you're right there in the midst of them. I pray, God, that you'd work out the details. We love you, and we pray encouragement over Josie. In Jesus' name, amen. Josie, amen. We appreciate the call.
Thank you so much.
All right, bye-bye. Well, folks, that is what true stewardship is all about, managing this life God's way and for his glory. Just a reminder that Financial Peace University Home Study is available for $129. Just head to stewardship.com and click on the section that says Chris Recommends. And folks, if you need a daily pick-me-up besides this show, make sure you sign up for the stewardship.com newsletter to receive encouraging tips on how to manage God's blessings His way for His glory. God bless you.